Now that we know what each gland does, let's get into the mechanics about how your menstrual cycle actually works. Because you're like, Dr. Ashley, you said a pile of things and now I'm confused. I need a picture. Great. Go literally right underneath this video that you're watching. There is a download for you with all of the phases of your menstrual cycle. You may have heard that your period is known as the fifth vital sign. But if not, I'm going to explain it to you. Your vital signs also include your blood pressure, your heart rate, your breathing rate, and your temperature. Back in 2015, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologists deemed your period the fifth vital sign. This is such an important status or a marker to your health status, and it's really what sex ed should have taught us. But at least you're going to get it now. Once you understand how to look for changes in your period, you'll be able to manage your hormones much easier. There are three main phases to your menstrual cycle: the follicular phase, the ovulatory phase, and the luteal phase. Sometimes you'll see it talked about in five stages, in which the follicular phase has a period phase encapsulated in it, and the luteal phase has a PMS phase encapsulated in it. For just simplicity's sake right now, we're going to talk about those three main phases. So let's break down each phase so that you can understand what changes are happening within your body. Day one of your cycle is the first day you bleed. That's when your period begins. And because it can get really kind of confusing, it's not the first day you spot. It's the first day you have to like put at least a tampon or a heavier pad or a Diva cup or whatever you choose in. This first like true bleed kicks off the follicular phase, and it's triggered by a drop of estrogen and progesterone, which causes your body to shed the endometrial lining, which is the lining of your uterus. That's what your period is. Now, about days 2 to 3 of your cycle, when you're still having your period, the follicle stimulating hormone, or FSH, that pituitary hormone, starts to rise. It does this to trigger the ovaries into producing estrogen. Estrogen is the main controller of the follicular phase, and as you'll come to understand, it's really important. Around day 8 of your cycle, estrogen levels are heightened. This causes anywhere where there are estrogen receptors to almost like plump up. It's why your breasts might be a little bit more full coming into ovulation. And fluid movement is such an important piece of this conversation. And this increase in estrogen also has the added benefit of making some of those like laugh lines, fine lines, and wrinkles disappear just a bit. Now, around day 9 to 10, you may notice that your sex drive peaks up a little tiny bit. Well, that's because testosterone starts to rise at this time. Our production of testosterone is much less than the men, but if you notice you get a little bit more short-tempered or ragey around ovulation, it might be your testosterone playing a role. Now, your body is super smart. It increases your testosterone and elevates your libido, which is your sex drive, around 5 days before you ovulate, so that in the interest of, you know, keeping our species alive, you'll seek out a partner and have sex. And then that sperm, which can live for about, you know, 3 to 5 days, is there when the egg gets released. It does this in the hopes of maybe you'll get pregnant. That's why, despite the fact that your egg only lives about 24 hours, you're considered fertile for 5 to 6 days out of each month. It doesn't actually have anything to do with you and has everything to do with how long a sperm can live in the reproductive area. As we lead into days 12 to 14, approximately, assuming we're on a 28 to 30 day cycle, just because the math is easier, your ovaries ramp up estrogen production. Estrogen spikes, which stimulates the pituitary gland to release the luteinizing hormone, or LH. This luteinizing hormone surge triggers ovulation and hopefully an egg is released. if the egg is released, or if there was an egg in that follicle that broke open in response to LH, the egg will travel down the fallopian tube and either implant in the endometrium, if it's been fertilized by sperm, or it slowly dissolves and passes out of the body along with the uterine lining during your period. It's so small, you'd never be able to see it in your period, just so you know, friends. Estrogen also stimulates the growth of the uterine tissue, thickening the uterine lining for the potential implantation of an embryo or a fertilized egg. This is why, if you're experiencing really heavy, clotty, or painful periods, we want to double check that your estrogen is being broken down appropriately. It's the predominant hormone during the first half of the cycle, which is also known as the follicular phase. And technically, the follicular phase lasts approximately day 1 through to day 14. Now, if you have a cycle that likes to fluctuate a little tiny bit, it's probably the follicular phase that's fluctuating and not the luteal phase, which we'll get into in a sec. Once we've ovulated, and I say ovulated very loosely because we have no way really of determining, just based off of a lab test, whether or not that follicle actually had an egg within it when it broke open. But that follicle still has a job to do. It doesn't just disappear after you ovulate. It actually turns into something else. And it turns into something known as the corpus luteum. The corpus luteum creates progesterone in order to stabilize the uterine lining that was developed by estrogen during the follicular phase of your cycle. So the uterine lining that's developed by estrogen in the first half is kind of like this. It's all like, it's called a trilaminar layer. And then as progesterone comes in, it basically causes the layers to be a little bit more nice. Make sense? Hope so. Progesterone is your calm the fuck down hormone. Okay? Very important for a number of different reasons. If we don't have enough progesterone being produced, you either want to run away, the fight of the flight of the fight or flight response, or murder somebody, which is the fight of your fight or flight response. Maybe you might even want to do both. If you find that's true for you during the week or two before your period and you can't sleep, you're feeling anxious, or you're aggravated with everyone in your life, you definitely need to consider that you might be burnt out. I'll go through this later in the course, but hear me once and hear me right. The sensitivity of your body to progesterone is not something that can be tested for. Testing progesterone simply confirms that you have or have not ovulated. It cannot tell you how sensitive your cells are to progesterone. And that's a really critical thing to remember, that it's not about just getting a number and being like, it's fine. It's how sensitive are you to the changes in your hormone load? That's the ovulatory phase. So that ovulatory phase that we just kind of talked about, that lasts like maybe 2 or 3 days. Moving on from that ovulatory phase, we move into the luteal phase. And you have to ovulate in order to make progesterone. Ovulation is that important. About 2 weeks following ovulation, so days 15 through 28 of your cycle, is considered the luteal phase. LH, which is what causes you to ovulate, can only survive for 14 days until there's nothing left. It's like it has a battery that only lasts for 14 days. It pulses out during that time. And it's the dropping of LH 14 days after you ovulate that's the precursor signal for estrogen and progesterone dropping, thereby initiating your period. Progesterone is technically the most dominant hormone in the luteal phase of your cycle, but estrogen's also present. Your progesterone peaks around 5 to 7 days post-ovulation, which is why if we want to measure progesterone, we do this on like day 19 through 22 of like a 28 to 30 day cycle. But remember what I said about testing progesterone. It's simply confirmatory of ovulation. If there's no egg implanted in the endometrium, that LH drops, triggering the drop of everything else, and your period starts. Your brain starts talking to your ovaries again via the follicle-stimulating hormone, and we start with day one all over. That's your menstrual cycle. Side note, show this class to your partner if you want them to understand this a little tiny bit more. You can bet that their grade 7 brain was not thinking about anything other than that condom and banana during sex ed. So now that we've discovered the menstrual cycle, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to start tracking. You have two pieces of homework if you still have a menstrual cycle. One is to track when you get your period and how long it lasts. And how long, track your period, when it starts, how long it lasts, and then how long it takes to get to your next period. The second piece of homework is to take the hormone quiz included in this course. Make sure you take it today so that you can follow along with the rest of the course and kind of have an idea of where you might need a little bit of extra support. So this quiz is not medical advice. It is not a substitute for lab testing, but you might be able to get an idea of where you kind of focus in your learning over the next little bit. If you think that there might be an issue that requires a bit of a deeper conversation, you want to find a qualified naturopathic or functional medicine doctor or medical doctor who understands the menstrual cycle, who can help to support your hormone needs. The quiz looks at symptoms of high and low testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone, as well as your thyroid and cortisol conversations. When you approach this quiz, I want you to think about the top 5 to 7 symptoms you struggle with the most and that you would want to see a doctor about. These should be issues that you're currently struggling with, not the ones you've had in the past. This quiz will work quite well if you just started menstruating, if you're in perimenopause, or if you're no longer menstruating due to menopause or other issues. Now, we've covered a lot, and this is only a taste of what's to come. I want to encourage you to schedule time in your calendar to go in and listen to a module. You don't have to do this all in the next week. And guess what? To all of the recovering perfectionists who are also watching this, you're not going to be tested on it. But I really want you to start to build that perfect symphony of all of your hormones working together. And more importantly, be able to tell when something's not quite right. Now, before you move on, I want you to close your eyes and visualize something for me. I want you to start by thinking of a triangle. At the base of the pyramid, you have your adrenal glands and insulin. Above that is your thyroid, and at the very tippy top of that triangle are your sex hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Your adrenals and insulin are the foundation of your hormones, and that's why stress can be so brutal for hormone health. You know, burnout is something I'm incredibly passionate about, so we'll be talking about it in this course, but we'll also be talking about it in depth in a course coming out in a few months. Just letting you all know. Why is the burnout conversation so important when it comes to our periods? Well, when we talk about hormones, a lot of us just want to jump straight to our sex hormones. But if that foundation of that triangle isn't strong, the triangle isn't going to hold up. It's going to literally crumble. Insulin is also at the base of the triangle because having well-regulated blood sugars is essential for hormone health. Elevated blood sugar can lead to insulin resistance and in turn can be the root cause of polycystic ovarian syndrome, like we talked about in the beginning. Insulin can also stimulate excess androgen production. Think male sex hormones. Plus, cortisol and insulin have this super interesting relationship, which we'll touch on. Now, as we're talking about the triangle, well, we've covered the foundation. Moving up is where the thyroid gland lives. This is second in line because our thyroid affects every single cell in our body. If you have hypothyroidism, which is too little thyroid hormone, or Graves' disease, which is too much thyroid hormone, it's not just that you're not functioning optimally. It's that every single one of your sex hormones are going to be affected as well. In fact, hypothyroidism can be responsible for a missing period, irregular periods, and infertility. Now, at the very top of the triangle is where our sex hormones live. We have three classes in this course dedicated to getting you to know everything you need about estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. First, I'll be guiding you in getting your foundation right so that you can leverage all of the superpowers your hormones are designed to give you. It's so important to fix the base of the pyramid or the triangle and work your way up, since your sex hormones are affected by your adrenals, your blood sugar, and your thyroid gland. You cannot fix one thing without fixing the others. Okay, so you officially know more than the majority of people about how your body works. You've just gifted yourself some serious knowledge. I cannot wait for you to create incredible change with what you're going to learn in these upcoming classes. So don't forget your homework. You have to track your cycle and you need to go take that quiz. And in the next class, we're hitting the base of that triangle, and you're going to learn everything you need to know, or maybe even stuff you didn't think you needed to know about your adrenals. These glands are so important for energy, healthy immune system, keeping inflammation in check, and blood sugar regulation. They help us deal with stress, and I will bet that you probably do have a little tiny bit of stress in your life. See, stress is not the big bad wolf in like Little Red Riding Hood. Stress is a way of life, and we all have stress within our day to day. The issue is, can we adapt to it and can we thrive in that environment, or does everything crumble around us? In this course, you'll be getting the foundational tools to help you with that, and we're going to build on it even later. Before I let you go, I do have one question or favor to ask of you. I want to make sure that this course gets to as many women as possible. And I would be really grateful if you were to tell just like one other person about it so that she can also take care and take charge of her hormone health.